This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
The sepulchral sounds of Randall Murphy. Gene Steinberg, Chris O'Brien's on special assignment. We're talking to Joshua Black about grief dreams and their implications. Let me ask you quickly here. You're a PhD candidate. You get the degree.
Yes.
And you continue the research that you're doing now. Do you teach? What do you do?
No, I've taught already, and I've done it, and it was okay, but my heart just wasn't in it. And so I do want to continue the research, and so my plan is to actually fund a lab after I'm done to actually continue the research, because no one's doing it, or no one's really doing it, and so I really want it to continue and to not just stop with me. But I also want to teach, not in academia, like as a professor, but I want to teach the general public how to work with these dreams, how to talk about them. And so that's why I constantly do workshops with people who work with the bereaved, and I do talks for the bereaved themselves. So I want to continue doing that as I move forward. And, you know, I say, like, I've only really done, you know, Southern Ontario and some other places. But, like, once I'm done, it'd be so much easier, since I don't have this sort of thing I need to get done as fast as I can. I can actually start touring the world and start talking about this stuff and hearing stories and all the different stories that are out there and normalizing this experience. So I'll probably write a book somewhere in there too. And, you know, who knows what. But that's more my main thing now, is like, how can I help the bereaved moving forward the best way I can?
That's certainly an honorable calling. I lost my life partner back in 2015, and of course I was referred to a number of grief counseling services and so on. And I looked at the syllabus and the outlines, and I just didn't feel that it was the right thing for me to get involved with them. It didn't seem like it was going to help me at all. And so I can't say that I've had personal experience there, but there are services out there that do provide counseling for people who are grieving, and that you want to help those people, I think, is very honorable, and that it sounds like you could possibly bring a unique perspective to that process.
Yeah, especially when it comes to those who support the bereaved, because in their training in Thanatology or in counseling, they're not trained on these dreams, so they don't know how to really work with them, and a lot of people actually don't ask the question. So I've found along my way, and other people have told me, is when people ask them about their dreams, they're more than willing to share. But for the most part, they don't share if they're not asked. And so
would
a lot
you
of,
like to see some sort of dream therapy, for lack of a better term, put into some of these grief counseling programs? I mean, the couple that I looked at, they were, I live here in Calgary, and you were supposed to attend several sessions and promise that you'll show up and have presentations and paperwork and so on for people to basically do homework on. So, I mean, these are being paid for by the city, and is it your hope that you can become more involved in those kinds of programs?
Well, of course, any program that works with the people who work with the bereaved, of course. And you first have to legitimize the subject, and that's what I'm getting, and that's why I'm doing the research, and I'm glad I'm doing the research, because when I talk to the people, like the executive directors at different places, they first look at the research, and then once they realize that science is actually looking at this stuff and it's actually valid, and these experiences people are having and sharing, then they're more open to doing it. But before the research was out there, I was in my MA, I got a lot of negative comments on the dreams, or even doing the subject, or wanting me to do talks. So things have changed just because research is getting out there now. And, you know, that's why I love seeing that change and that progress as you move forward. And a lot of people who do dream therapy, it's not that I think the dream stuff that I'm really working on. Because I don't think they really know the research itself when it comes to this topic. So they're going at it a specific way. Maybe it's Jungian psychology or Freudian or some other way of interpreting your dreams. And I'm really just peeling it right back to sort of, did dreams represent a waking life? And how can we talk about these dreams in a safe environment where you're not devaluing the person's experience, but actually helping them through their grief journey? And that takes a little bit more training. So I'll probably have a training program. You know, that's what my workshops are about, is really focusing on that aspect of it. And who knows? But at the end of the day, I'm just happy I can, I almost memorialize my dad by doing this. And it actually gives me a lot of comfort by doing this work and being around the bereaved and those who are suffering. And, you know, looking back, I wouldn't have chose this path, but I'm glad I'm on the path.
Are you on this path because of your father?
I am. Yeah. Like as I said, he was the first one that passed away. And it was because of the dreams I had with him that actually made me think that this topic was, I should even look at. Because if that person, let's say I don't, and to volunteer with the bereaved, you need to have lost someone. So I wouldn't have been able to even volunteer with the bereaved to hear some of their questions and concerns on the topic. So yeah, that moment in time really changed the direction of my life.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
I do. I have one brother and two sisters.
In that experience, you know, in your experience with them, do they talk about it? Have they had any dreams? Have you had some dreams that might be similar? Do you get to share your experiences with them, and or can you share any of your experiences with them safely here?
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, siblings, they don't always have the same perspective you do. And I think because of the environment we're raised in, they have their own beliefs that really, like, shed them, I guess, like, close them up, especially on this topic. And so I've asked, and none of them actually have. And it's interesting to sort of hear about, you know, the reasons if they even want one, if they don't. And I said my dad wasn't the most pleasant person, so it's not like they're, I think, longing for these dreams. And the reason I should share, too, the reason why I think my dream was positive and why I grieve so much is because after my mom separated from my father when I first started university. And so before then, I was angry at my dad, and, you know, I didn't care for him just because of the way he was approaching raising us and stuff. And so anyways, there was that path. And what happened was after they separated, I wanted to understand more of his behavior and why he treated us the way he did. And from there on out, he started opening up to me a lot about his past, and it made sense to me on, you know, why he was the way he was because of the way he was brought up.
While he was alive, you were?
Yeah, this was when he was alive. So I started developing a bond with him, and then we started going out for dinners and talking, going to the movies and, you know, taking him to hockey games and stuff. And so I started developing a friendship with him that I never had as a child. So I started actually bonding with my father at a time, and then he passed away about 2 years later. And so that's why it hurt. But if we didn't reconnect, I probably wouldn't have had a dream because I wouldn't have wanted one.
Right. Well, that's very positive. I know my parents, they split up as well, and I'd heard more negative things about them than positive things. And as I grew up and got into my 20s and moved back here to Calgary where he lived, I started visiting him on a regular basis and really learning the real person he was. And I feel so fortunate for that. And so I think my own dream about him that made me feel so much better because it was like going to visit him is reflective of that. So I'm really glad that you did that.
I'm glad you also did that. And I think it takes a lot of courage to stretch your mind on who people are because we get set sometimes in our ways. And to open your mind to sort of who are they really, and it's good if, like, my father, which was nice, that he really dropped the role of being a father. He just started talking as if it was, like, a real person, you know? And I think that's actually was really beneficial for me, too. I don't know if your father did the same thing, where he saw you as, like, an adult, and he had, like, adult conversations with you. He wasn't trying to, like, shed you from the world and stuff. So I think it took you great courage to also go there and take those steps, because a lot of times we can harden our heart to people, and we have this belief that maybe people can't change. And so what happens is we distance ourselves and we leave them, and then they die, and we just never know who they truly were.
Don't forget to check out the Paracast Plus for the best way to listen to the show. You also get the exclusive After the Paracast podcast. For more information, check plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. We got more to come with Joshua Black. Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, I want to tell you about my favorite graphics app. It's the award-winning Graphic Converter. You know, Graphic Converter is the universal genius for photo editing on your Mac. Join over 1.5 million loyal users for this Swiss Army knife photo editing app. It gives you all you expect from a top-flight image editing app with tons of features, and most important, it's easy to use. It's also far less expensive than that other app that you can only get by subscription. You know, the one I'm talking about. What's more, you can get 20% off with your order right now. So write this down to learn about Graphic Converter. Go to www.lemkesoft.de/gene. Let me spell that. www.lemkesoft.de/gene.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start Program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote. Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-610-7740. That's 800-610-7740. 800-610-7740.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. $39.95 plus shipping and handling. Use discount code GCN and receive 15% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter and get your Bug Assault today.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So Joshua Black, I guess we can relate that to my experience with my father. He and I, you know, for different reasons, which are complicated, weren't very friendly for a while, and then we kind of hooked up again. And when my wife and I had a son, we would visit him and his second wife, my stepmother, and we had pleasant times. He'd buy us dinner all the time. And then one evening, the day before my birthday, he calls me on the phone. And usually our phone conversations were 30-second affairs. And this time he went on for 5 or 10 minutes, as if he really needed to say things to me. The next day, probably 24 hours on my birthday, he died. And it was not something like he suffered from some kind of illness or something. He was just shy of his 79th birthday. He was playing cards with his friends, and he had a heart attack, and that was it. Of course, I guess if you're going to die, do it fast, and he did it fast. It's just a strange coincidence that the day before he's calling me, as if maybe he knew, and then he dies on my birthday.
Wow. Wow. How was that for you? Like does it, like, now that you're grown up and you have these birthdays, does it actually, was it monumental anyway? Did it trigger, like, when you have birthdays coming up now, does it trigger stuff?
I was an adult.
Yeah.
He was just shy of his 79th birthday, so, you know, we already had a son.
Mm.
And therefore, it wasn't something where I'm experiencing this as a child. I'm experiencing this as an adult and seeing him in his final years. It's just, it all sort of came together there. That it happened that way. Of all the days that one can choose to die unexpectedly, yeah, that was a day. Weird.
Wow. Yeah, like, that's another topic, right? Like, when people die. And, like, you hear stories, and it's just, someone just passed away, Louise Hay, I don't know if you know her or not. She was big in the spiritual work. Anyway, she had a good friend, Dr. Wayne Dyer, and they both passed away. So Wayne Dyer passed, I think, 2 years ago, and then she passed away just this year, but on the same day. And, like, they were good friends. And so you're just like, it's just very interesting when people die. If people can control that, you know, that's something I soon, you know, one day will find out as I get up there or as it happens to me.
So are you the oldest amongst your siblings, or where do you fit?
I'm in, I guess, the middle. So I'm the, so I'll be the third child.
Okay.
So it's interesting doing this and doing the post-education stuff, because they haven't really done that aspect either. So it's a learning curve moving forward. But, you know, like, I get a lot of support, maybe not too much from them. My mom's very supportive, which is really nice in this area. But just to see the support from other people really gives me the motivation to continue and do this, because it's a tough journey, like, going through, you know, all the hoops and all the struggles and, you know, financial sort of stress and stuff, to really do what you need to do and what you feel desired to do. So I'm just glad for, say, even you guys to have me on to sort of talk about the subject and share some of this information, because without, you know, you guys, my research and the topic would just, like, sit in a drawer somewhere.
What does your family think of what you do?
So my mom is very supportive. She hasn't had any dreams of my dad, but she has had a dream of someone else that passed away, and she thought it was comforting. But other than that, like, you know, like, we're just, you know, people, you know, like, you don't get to choose your family. So they're not like, you know, I don't see them all the time, but they are, you know, in their own way, they're very loving and they have kids. So I go see them, but we don't really talk about this subject. We'll just talk about, you know, everyday life, what's going on, surface stuff. But nothing like too deep that we're talking about now, having those in-depth conversations. So I love them, but, you know, like, they're not, you just have to, like, know when your topic's wanted and when it's not. And so at the end of it, that's why I say, like, I'm just glad for other people to really validate what I'm doing.
So what about the colleagues you work with?
It's like some of them had their own dreams, so they like what I'm doing. And my supervisor loves what I'm doing, and she really brought me on, which is, I think, so amazing, because without her and without Brock University, I wouldn't be able to do this. And so it's not even just me. It's like, I needed people to say, yeah, let's actually test it scientifically and give me a chance. And they have. And I think that's amazing. So people in the department, they seem to actually enjoy it. And I think at first it was, they didn't really know, but the more I talk about it, the more I do this media stuff, they really see the benefit of it, especially the media stuff. And most people in the PhD program don't ever go on radio or try to, like, promote their research in different ways. But I really try to, because I'm trying to normalize this experience and get the information out. And that's why I started like at the website, griefdreams.ca, just as a way to bring people together, to ask questions, to find the research that's on there, and to be able to contact me and if they have any questions. And so I feel like that really pushes them. I think it's not really more about the topic, but I think that social media is really stretching the academic community at Brock to do more with their research.
Yeah, that's a pretty good looking website. It's well put together. It's
you're on it.
Oh yeah,
I did it myself.
Really?
I'm just like playing around, but yeah, that's the first draft, I guess.
Yeah, very good.
Is this done in WordPress or what?
It's done in Squarespace.
Oh, so you use a template?
It's a CMS thing, I'm assuming, but it looks good.
Oh, thank you.
I'm gonna get this question in yet.
Okay.
What is your thesis about?
So
Okay.
So I'm looking at a couple questions, but it's specifically on dreaming of the deceased. So my first two studies was looking at what factors predict dreaming of the deceased. And then my next ones will be also on what factors predict a positive dream versus a negative dream. And within that, I'm also looking at what themes people are having and the frequency of those themes. And so as I was saying, for the most part, people having these positive themes over these negative dreams. And that was interesting because the first time we actually looked at that to say, okay, yes, there's these common themes, but how many people are actually having these versus not? And so most people having these comforting themes over and above these negative themes. I think it's like 90% of people who report a dream say they had a comfort theme, and people who a negative theme was around 40%. I think that's really interesting. And those 40% of people, most of the people, I think 38% or 35% had also a positive dream. And so now it's really like fine tuning and say, okay, why is someone having a negative dream? Does it relate to their grief? And you know, does it relate to maybe trauma symptoms? Like maybe they saw, you know, it was a traumatic loss, or maybe they have guilt, you know? So really trying to understand the dream imagery is also a part. So that's sort of the dissertation, is a bunch of these studies. I think there would be 5 studies in total on different samples of grieved individuals, from espousal to pet loss and the miscarriage.
Do you personally talk to these people, or do you pick up research papers?
So it's just you do the study. I don't have any contact with them, so it's not one-on-one interviews. So it'd be through a program that we have that collects data through the internet. In my MA, it was people had actually contact me, and I gave them sort of the questionnaires to fill out, and then that's when they put in their dreams and stuff like that. But it's when I do the workshops, people will tell me about their dreams, and I'll be able to talk to them in more detail when I do that. Or if people email me, I'm able to talk to them and get more detail about, you know, what these dreams mean to them.
We got more to come with Joshua Black. I'm Gene Steinberg. He's Randall Murphy. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. $39.95 plus shipping and handling. Use discount code GCN and receive 15% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter and get your Bug Assault today.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from 3 health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Attention type 2 diabetics. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA has warned that Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR and other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes cause an increased role in amputations of the toes, feet, and legs. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors $1,000 for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-475-7607. That's 800-475-7607. Again, 800-475-7607. Call now.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. www.injuryhelpdesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
What do you call charging thousands of dollars for hearing aids? I call it outrageous, because hearing should not be a privilege for the rich. It's a basic right everyone deserves. Hi, I'm Dr. Cherukuri, board-certified ear, nose, and throat physician. If you or a loved one suffer from hearing loss but can't afford thousands for a hearing aid, I created MD Hearing Aid for you, a high-quality medical-grade hearing aid for a fraction of that price.
Try MD Hearing Aid at home, risk-free, for 45 days. Call 1-800-422-1271.
No costly doctor's visit. No expensive and time-consuming fittings or appointments. No ugly, old-fashioned hearing aid that costs thousands. MD Hearing Aid is an FDA-registered, audiologist-tested hearing aid that's discreet and lets you hear what you've been missing at a savings of more than 80% off the average price of a traditional hearing aid.
Try MD Hearing Aid risk-free for 45 days. Call 1-800-422-1271. Plus, you'll get free shipping and free batteries for a year. 1-800-422-1271.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, so just a key question here that occurs from this, that your research is coming from mostly third-party sources. You're not personally validating this information before you put it in your study?
Well, it's coming from them, and that's the best we can do with questionnaire data, right? Like, they're telling me their best. They're telling me what they think when it comes to this questionnaire. We always sort of, it's hard to sort of get the truth, I guess you could say, because would they, like, people ask, would they be lying? Would they not be? This is the best we got, unless we can actually see these dreams in a lab. And then we can actually know for sure what they're having, how long they are, what kind of theme they are. But until then, this is sort of the best we can do with what we got.
But wouldn't it be better to spend more time talking to people, get a sense of what they're saying? Because it's very impersonal to fill out a questionnaire or to read somebody's report.
It is, but it's the best we can, you know, like for me, that's a way to gather a large amount of data. And you need a large amount of data to do the analysis that we're doing. And more than the one-on-one type of interviews, even though the questionnaire, it says, you know, your dream and all that other sort of stuff, there's also a feedback thing. So people can write about, if they want to write about their loved ones more. And a lot of people actually, after taking the questionnaire, actually thank us, which is unheard of when it comes to doing scientific research. People aren't really thanking you that much, but these people are. So it actually, I think the way we're asking the questions, the way we set up our consent form and also the debriefing form really validate this stuff. And I think it normalizes the experience for them and give them an understanding of why we're doing what we're doing, and it can help them out. And say, if they ever have any questions, they always contact us and we can talk that way after sort of like the data's in. But that's why I like doing these workshops and talking to people one-on-one. Like, you get a different sense of the data. And this is the difference between like quantitative and qualitative research, you know, and here we are, right? So you got to have both. And that's why I love by talking to these people, even though I may not be able to publish it, I can still understand what their concerns are, what benefits them, what doesn't, and I can actually put that into some of my studies in some way.
And in the context of these studies, just to be clear again here, when you're talking about positive versus negative, you're talking about what is in the mind of the experiencer, something that is positive, in other words, that it makes them feel better or gives them some sense of comfort or relief from the negative or uncomfortable emotional feelings that they experience during grief. Have I got that right?
Yeah, it's part of it. It's more of the theme. So remember the dead, dying, and ill theme and the discomfort theme that I shared? Well, I asked those questions in the questionnaire. And so putting those two frequencies together, that's a negative theme. And then similarly for the comfort and the healthy and happy, those are positive images and themes. And so I put those together. So that's how I made up the negative versus positive. So it's, some people can have a negative or positive theme and think it's negative in nature, but it's more about the what's going on in the dream.
And what occurs to me here is, do you take a lot of demographic information about a person's background when you collect these experiences? Okay, so do you find that particular religions or lack of religious belief has any impact, whatever, specific age groups, male, female, where they come from originally?
Yeah, and this is interesting, and the answer is no. So for what factors uniquely predict dreaming of the deceased, the age has nothing to do with it, gender, we've looked at intrinsic religiosity, has nothing to do with it. And so it's very interesting how people from all ages, all cultures, all religions are more or less having these experiences in a similar fashion. I think that's really interesting. It'd be cool to get more data on this to validate the research, because it is like one of the first studies that are out. But yeah, it seems like that everyone's having it. I think the types of dreams these people have are probably different based on their loss. And so just for example, if a mother loses a child, their dreams would be a little different than if you lose a spouse. And I just want to like get this in there quick, just because I think it's very interesting. So usually when we dream over deceased loved ones, they tend to be the same age when they passed away, like an adult. Sometimes if they die when they're older, they'll have dreams where the deceased is younger but healthier. But when it comes to children, a lot of people say if when they dream of their children, they dream as though they're aged. So if they die at 2 in 2 years, they're dreaming about them. They dream of them as if they were 4. And so I think it's very interesting, just like, so the type of loss has an impact in the themes that occur. But yeah, all the other demographics don't really have any influence right now.
Interesting. Well, I was just going to ask, okay, there does seem to be a correlation between how well a person knows the person that they're dreaming about or the type of the strength of the relationship that they'd had. But, you know, I've heard a few stories from people who say they've dreamt about somebody who they didn't know who they were. And they woke up and they go down to the kitchen and all of a sudden, you know, they're seeing their parent, you know, looking very sad at the coffee table and ask them what happened. You know, it's somebody that they didn't know that was part of the family, an extended family that had passed away. I mean, how do we reconcile those kinds of things? I mean, the person that had this one dream that I was talking about described the person to a T, had never met them before, and their parent just looked at them and said, you know, that's your granddad so-and-so.
Wow, that's wild. I like that. I feel like those dreams are like, you just don't know. Like, it could be that. It could be like the memory thing. Maybe they talked to one or saw a picture. It could be that it was an actual visitation. Or it could be they're picking up some type of telepathy from the parent. So the parent would have known. And so maybe they're picking up that kind of imagery from the parent. You know, I don't know, but it's just very interesting to even talk about.
Yeah. Well, with telepathy, of course, now we're getting out into that sort of woo-woo space, but you know, I think that we have to accept, no matter what we look at, that some sort of information is taking place. These people are acquiring information in their mind that corresponds accurately to some situation that they're not normally familiar with. Mm-hmm. So the the question is, what becomes the method of information transfer? And of course, something like telepathy actually doesn't seem all that unreasonable when we consider that our minds are transmitters and receivers of various frequencies of measurable EM radiation. I don't know how to explain it scientifically, but I mean, I don't think that's beyond the realm of some sort of rational questioning.
No, like telepathy, you should be able to, I think, investigate that a little bit better. But when it comes to dreams, it's hard to catch them, right? Like if you could have the experience of that and catch it in a lab setting, well, then it'd be easy. But the problem is they don't happen when we want them to, right? And so it's because they're, you could say, random that it'd be very difficult to study the topic itself.
But if somebody has frequent dreams of this nature, can you set up a lab study where you observe them when they're sleeping to see what kind of measurements you can take?
Oh, yeah, you definitely could. I would love to actually be a part of that study. But when it comes to what I find out when it comes to these dreams, they're very, very, like, some people will have one dream their entire life. Other people will be more frequent, but it's not every night. And so, you know, it costs a lot to run a lab, a sleep lab, and then to have them come in and try to catch it and say it'll be tough. But I think for those people who dream of them very frequently, it could be done. And to sort of see what's going on. But then again, when it comes to these dreams are different. Not all dreams of the deceased are the same. Some are more vivid, more real, and have a different quality to them. And some of them are just, you know, they're in the background and they're just part of the dream imagery and they don't have that sort of emotional appeal or emotional sort of arousal that they get when they wake up. And so it's like trying to really differentiate those two types of main dreams that people report when it comes to this. So it's definitely, it can be done. It's just we need money and you need time and you need someone to be able to do it in a sleep lab.
We've got more with Joshua Black and Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. $39.95 plus shipping and handling. Use discount code GCN and receive 15% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter and get your Bug Assault today.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Actual testimonials from real Numana customers.
I've tried all kinds of food storage, and Numana is by far the best.
I'm a single mom with two teenage boys and a full-time job. I don't always have time to cook a four-course meal. That's where Numana's been such a blessing. I can spend less time in the kitchen and more time on what matters most, like helping with homework.
Find out for yourself. Order online at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Numana is...
The stores I love to eat. Yum!
ThePowerMall.com.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. That's 800-535-7789.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So Joshua Black is with us, and we were talking about the possibilities of a dream lab.
There's sleep labs around. Most dream research uses questionnaires just because it's easier and it's more cost efficient. But there is, I guess people who run dream studies, and they look at, different aspects of the dreams, but they haven't looked at this area. And so, maybe they want to look at this area. That'd be cool. I'd be more than happy to see that happen. As I say, I don't want to be the only one in this field. I want this to actually start a movement in some way to try to get answers and try to find more of what's going on. Because I'm really curious just what's going on in the brain when it happens to these two different types of dreams. That makes me interested. And that's something I would love to figure out, if we could catch those two things. But as I said, they're not that easy to track. The research is very minimal for what we need to know when these dreams maybe occur.
Has anyone thought to consider whether the people who have these dreams more frequently have other experiences, paranormal experiences, seeing strange things in the sky, ghosts, things like that?
Oh, great question.
It is a good question. No, I think you're the first one to ask me that, so congratulations. And so if only we could fund you to do some research, life would be easier. But no, I'd say when I say there's not a lot of research, there's really not a lot of research. And so I'm really starting at the bare minimum. Are there themes that are common? Is it even common to have these dreams for the bereaved? This is very simple stuff. Why are some dreams positive and negative? This should have been asked, 40 years ago. But for whatever reason, I'm just starting to sort of get that information out now. So I think after this comes out, then we start looking at more of those other connections and, who else is having these experiences? And does that maybe predict dreaming of the deceased? I don't know, but I know dream recall is a big predictor of that.
Have you heard of Michael Persinger?
No.
Oh, well, this is something that you should definitely check into. He's a neuroscientist, philosopher. He thinks that all phenomena, including consciousness and spiritual experiences and paranormal events, can be explained by universal physical mechanisms that can be studied using the scientific method. He created something that is sort of loosely referred to as the God helmet, that actually puts EM waves through people's brains. In his experiments, people actually can see, in some cases, their dead relatives standing in before them as clearly as if they were really there.
Interesting. Yeah, I'll definitely look that up.
Yes, you should definitely look into some of his work, because he's fairly controversial, but he's a genuine scientist. Somebody, I believe, I think he's Canadian as well.
Okay. Yeah, I'll definitely look into him. I haven't heard of him before. But yeah, if he's doing some research, and I'll look into it and see what he's doing and his approach to it. And it'd be very interesting to see if I can learn something. If not, that's okay. But at least I can sort of understand more of what he's doing, what he's trying to attempt to do, and what he's finding. We need to sort of look at the results. And as I said, like, I don't know about him. And probably one way I don't know about him because I haven't seen him in my social media yet, right? So we live in a different world that, you know, we need to get the information out there to really start, you know, talking about this stuff in a new way, even when it comes to dreams or, say, religious experiences and what the findings are. But the sad thing is a lot of researchers, they don't, right? Because it's not really their concern. Their concern is to do the research. And that's what they spend a lot of their time and money on. And it's a lot of work to do this, the social media aspect.
Oh, no kidding. Very time consuming. Do you think that you could, your studies could benefit from something like a number of MRI readouts and so on? Have you considered looking at that approach to compare the actual brain conditions of people who are experiencing grief?
No, not yet. As I said, like it's very expensive to do studies when it comes to MRIs or sleep labs, and you need a specific question involved with dreaming of the sea. So it'd be like, the problem is most people will have a dream at some point in their life, and as time goes on, that number sort of increases. So I have to basically find a question. I don't know much about MRIs, so I have to understand sort of what it does and how it can relate to dreaming of the deceased. But yeah, like, it's not out of the question to use different technologies to study this subject.
They're very useful, and they're being used by people to try and answer some of these kinds of questions. You could probably include that in your questionnaire as a question. Have you had any reason to have an MRI lately, or, you know, have you had any type of other psychological evaluation done? And if you could get their permission, then if you've got people who have had those kind of tests done, to get hold of those tests, and that could reduce a lot of your expenses and provide you with some actual hard scientific data that you could compare against a so-called baseline.
Control group. Yeah. And you have to catch it too. Like, it has to be after they've lost their loved one. And yeah, like, time is a huge factor on, like, when it's done. And it's more in a controlled setting. It's hard to just collect the data that they give you. You'd have to actually, I think, put them yourself, get the questionnaires done, and run them, like, together. So the time is a big, like, is important when it comes to sort of collecting scientific data. But yeah, I think there is something there. And the more technology grows, right, like, just continues to grow, hopefully we can use that as a way to understand this phenomena and understanding all sorts of sort of paranormal experiences to a new degree. And that's what I'm exciting with what's all coming out, because it's allowing us to research different areas more effectively.
So you don't dismiss, obviously, the possibility that all these dreams are genuine, that people are having some kind of encounter subconsciously with a dead loved one or whoever.
Say that again?
That these experiences, these dreams, represent a reality of some sort. It's not just your subconscious making up something. You're really interacting with some outside force, possibly, as I said, the dead relative, possibly just an external force. Something that I kind of brought up at the early part of the show.
Yeah, I'm not against that approach. And I said we can't test it. And people always come up to me and ask, is this a visitation dream? I'm like, I can't tell you that. I go, what does it feel like to you? And then we can go with that. But I said, like, unless I can talk to the deceased to ask them and say, hey, were you in his dream at this time, at this day? Well, we can't do that yet. All we have is a person's sort of personal experience with the dream. So I can't deny the experience, but we just can't test it scientifically. So I'm not against it, though.
What you can obviously test is whether someone has a dream and somebody dies the next day. Of course, you can't do it when they tell you 10 years later.
Right, yeah.
But once it happens.
Mm-hmm. But you'd have to be like, you have to catch that. I guess once the information gets out there and more people have these experiences, they can give it to you right away. Like, if I had like a study and going on collecting people's premonition dreams that you're talking about of, you know, when the deceased dies soon after, to get those right away and people send those to me, that's probably the easiest way to do that. But then you just need funding and you need all that sort of set up ahead of time. But yeah, it's not out of the question. You just need the time, and you need people to know that you're doing the work.
Can you tell our listeners, if they have more interest in what you're studying, where can they check out your site, and how do they get in touch with you?
Okay, so yeah, you can go to griefdreams.ca, and on there you can find links to all sorts of stuff. I have, my contact is on there, different research articles, different things that we talked about today on the show, different themes and content is also on there. You have my Instagram page, @griefdreams, same thing with Twitter, @griefdreams. You have the Grief Dreams Facebook group, and there's hundreds of dreams people have shared. And so feel free to go on there, read about them, even post your own. We always love having that. And then I also have the Grief Dreams podcast. So if you like hearing more about the subject, come listen to me try to interview people on the other end of this. And they have their own dreams. Some people have positive ones, and other people have negative ones. But everything can be found at griefdreams.ca.
You can find us on Twitter. Look for the PowerCast on Twitter. We also want you to check out our second radio show, After the PowerCast. Well, we'll talk about this, maybe have a surprise guest or two. After the PowerCast is only available if you subscribe to the PowerCast Plus. You have to go to plus.thepowercast.com, plus.thepowercast.com. Remember also that you get the commercial-free version of this show with better quality audio. Some videos and other stuff, more content coming. Plus.thepowercast.com. We want you to sign up. Joshua Black, thank you so much for joining us on the PowerCast.
Thank you, Gene, so much for having me on. I appreciate you taking the time, which is the longest interview I've done. And I appreciate all the work that you're doing and talking about this stuff and allowing me to come on.
PowerCast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the PowerCast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Classic science fiction at its best. Available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey purified water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
North Korea openly threatens the U.S. and launches a new missile every other week. Their warhead of choice? Electromagnetic pulse. Such an event would cripple the U.S. power grid for years and leave millions in the dark. Are you ready? You can be with a Solark EMP-hardened solar generator. Solark works day in and day out to keep your essentials protected. You can have peace of mind knowing your power will be there when you most need it. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to see EMP testing. That's PortableSolarLLC.com. Energy insurance for your family.